God, isn't it? God is so awesome. Can I get an amen to that? He is unbelievably good. And he has reconciled us by the blood of Christ. It's so amazing. You know, how many of you guys have read through the entire Bible before? Have you taken that journey through and you read through those different sections of the Old Testament where it's prescribing Old Testament worship, right? And in the Old Testament, that word testament means covenant. In the Old Covenant, there was always a lot of blood that was involved in ceremonies. Can I get an affirmative? You guys have recognized that. It's almost to the point that it becomes uncomfortable when you think about, you know, thousands of animals that were dying, and to consecrate these different areas of the temple. Originally, they were to actually take blood and take like a hyssop plant, and they were to throw the blood on the different areas of, you know, like the altar and things of that nature to cleanse it. And, you know, it's hard for us to understand why this blood was necessary. And so one thing I want you to say, I want you to know about this is, and to see from this is, the old covenant was pointing forward to the new covenant. So we've got to keep that in mind. And so I want you to know that the death of those animals could never remove the sin of people. Okay? But in a sense, it covered over it because it was done in faith, because God said to do it. And so the people did it looking forward to the true payment for sin. And that true payment for sin came in the person of Jesus Christ. When he in the incarnation, and it was predicted by the prophet Daniel right down to the day of when he was going to come, right down to that very time that he would enter into this whole story of humanity, and he was going to be that perfect sacrifice. And all those thousands and hundreds of thousands and even millions of animals that had been killed through these through the temple worship in the past was always pointing forward to the one. Now, the reason why I kind of set the table with that thought is there's a lot of movement in Christianity today, in the modern church movement, the seeker-friendly type movement, to try to pretty up and tidy up Christianity and remove any references of the blood. Because the blood, you know, the idea of blood is disturbing to us. But I want to say that what we really need to look at is that without the blood of Christ, you cannot be reconciled to the Father. It was going to take the shedding of the blood of one who is perfect to be able to pay for the sin of all of mankind. And there's nobody sitting in here today that could say, you know, I'm perfect, because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible tells us clearly that the wages of sin is death. We earn death, physical death and spiritual death. We earn it through sin. We will get what we have earned unless someone else pays for our sin. And that someone else is Christ, and he has done it, but we have to be in the place that we can receive it through faith. And that's what we discussed in the past couple sermons, is talking about how it's by grace through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's the only way that we can receive this. And once we have received it, we need to realize what has happened to us, that we have been reconciled. And we're going to talk about that word today. That word reconciled is such a beautiful word. Reconciled. And the definition of this word, if you just go to Merriam-Webster, you know, it's to restore to friendship or harmony, reconciled, you know, different factions. And I like the second one there as well, to settle, resolve, to reconcile differences. It's a big word, because I can say this enmity or this separation from God is absolutely devastating. There's no one that can be in heaven who is not reconciled to him. And so, you know, in a sense, it's also like, in a biblical way, it's like to be made holy. How many of us can say on our own that we're holy? None of us. Only through Christ and his holiness can we be made holy. Can we be made set apart? Can we be restored and reconciled into the presence of God and into fellowship with Him? And so it's huge. It's everything. This is what matters most of all. This is what is eternal. All these other things that we talk about and we spend our time on and we do around our homes and so much of even what we do in our lives is only passing. It's only temporary. But man, that one thing, it counts for eternity. And so let's celebrate the fact that in Christ we can be reconciled by His precious blood. It's huge. It's costly. It cost everything. Can you imagine the life of the Lord of glory? How huge and how amazing and how astonishing and how terrible it is when we think about Him hanging on that cross. Oh, but how glorious that it is that through His blood we can be reconciled. Let's read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 18. Let's stand for the reading of God's word if you're able. This is written to the church in Ephesus, which was a church that was mostly filled with Gentiles, those from Gentile descent. Paul speaking to them, and I want to say he's speaking to us today as well. So as we read this, I want you to receive this personally. In verse 11, therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants and promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Can we all say amen? I remember what that felt like. To be separated from God, to feel lost in this huge world. In verse 13, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. I pray that that is a present tense reality for everyone in this place. But I would say, but now, if you are in Christ, you have been brought. Who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. I pray that you know Jesus and that Jesus knows you. In verse 14, for He Himself is our peace. Amen? There's a lot of lack of peace in the world, but for a Christian, we have peace. Who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Praise God. Let's pray. Dear Father, I just want to thank You that as we read these words and we can see this reality, it's so much bigger than what we can fully comprehend. It's so much bigger than what we can fully grasp. But we can catch just a glimpse of how awesome Your salvation is, that not only have You reconciled the two and made them one in that You have brought the Gentiles and the Jewish people together in Christ, that all who receive Christ are one, but that You have made us one with You. How amazing. Eternally amazing is this. We are going to get to be with You forever to celebrate this fact, but only because of the blood of Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, that You were willing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can have a seat. And as we think about this some more, so remember, we needed reconciliation. We were separated. What were we separated from? We were separated from God, first of all. Amen? You know, God doesn't allow sin into heaven. God doesn't allow sin into his presence. Something has to be done to reconcile us that we can even come into the presence of God. I love the scripture that says that we might come boldly before the throne of grace now. In the book of Hebrews, it talks about that. You know, guys, a lot of people think, yeah, that means that we can strut up to the throne of grace boldly. No, that means for you to even think about approaching God's throne, you're going to have some reason for the boldness to even think about it. How many of you ever had to go to your dad whenever you were in big trouble or to an authority that was really high over you that wielded the power of being able to bring, some great punishment upon you? Maybe it was a school principal or maybe it was, some type of a law official or something like that. But you had to approach them knowing that you were guilty as charged. Can you like put yourself into a situation that you may have felt before? And I can remember whenever I used to get in trouble for my mom during the day and my dad was off at work and she'd say, you just wait till your dad gets home. I'd gone too far then, I knew it. Can anybody else relate to that? I don't know. I had that kind of an experience. And I can remember the whole rest of the day watching the clock and I knew about what time he was gonna get home. And I mean, you know, my heart was just like, oh no, you know, he's home. And he wasn't like just abusive on me or anything, but I knew that, you know, his discipline carried weight. He wasn't like my mom. Sometimes I could talk her out of it. I could guilt her into not really carrying out the full discipline, you know. And to be honest, most of the time when she did discipline me, she probably spanked me harder than my dad. But I'll just tell you, boy, whenever my dad came home, you know, I remember approaching him. I didn't feel very bold, folks. I was doing it out of necessity because I was trying to head him off before my mom gave him the whole story. Hi, Dad. Hope you had a good day today. You know what, guys? It ain't going to work for us with God. You're not going to butter God up. You either come through Christ or you have no hope of even standing before that throne. And that's the kind of boldness that the Bible's even talking about, because we shouldn't even be there. We're separated from God if it wasn't for Christ. And so that's what we were separated from before you came to Christ. You know what else we were separated from? You ever read all those awesome promises to Israel about the end times and all the promises that were given through all the covenants to the different patriarchs and all that? You know, the covenant to Abraham where God told him that he would make him more numerous than the stars of the sky and that he was going to bless him. He was going to bless his people. And if anybody came against him, it was going to be bad for them because God was with him. You know, like promise like that, we can claim that promise in Christ. Isn't that amazing? Like, but before Christ, we were separated from those covenants and promises to Israel. How about hope? I can remember being without Christ, and I had a hard time feeling hopeful. In fact, I'm glad God wouldn't let me have hope without him, because that was him drawing me to him. I was unsettled. I was depressed, and I felt very uncomfortable in my future because I knew that there was something wrong. There was something dreadfully wrong in me. I had a missing piece of the puzzle of my heart. And until I came to Christ, I really couldn't have that hope. And this scripture's talking about that lack of having that hope without Christ. And let's just face it, that ultimately, at the end of the day, we are separated from heaven. Nobody is getting into heaven without Jesus. And so we have got to understand that. We need to accept that. You know, the whole world's trying to tell us that's just way too, you know, that's judgmental. Guys, I didn't write it. I didn't, you know, and a lot of people would say, why would a good God only have one way? And I'm going to say, he's so good. Look at the way he provided for us. He sent his only begotten son that he might die for us. Man. If that doesn't speak of how good our God is, amen? It just speaks volumes. And so we were separated from God, his covenants and promises, all the hope and the hope of heaven. But God. And that's what verses 11 through 13 are showing to us. We need to always remember that, guys, at one time we were on the other side of that fence. Amen? And you know, when you look out and you see masses of lost people doing what lost people do and not making any sense to, you know, our understanding of things, I want you just to remember the only difference between us and them is they don't have Christ yet. They haven't been reconciled. And he did, you know, he died, and that blood is there. But guys, it's only effective in our lives after we've received the Lord. And you know, I know that that God has his way of drawing, and we need to be part of that process for others as well. Amen? We need to show that we have this hope. We need to show that we have this relationship with Christ. We need to show that we have hope in the covenants and promises that are there in the Scripture. We need to live that way. So now that we know what we were separated from, we need to understand what it was that separated us. And in this area of Scripture, in chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, show us this. It shows us that we're separated from all of these because of sin. Can I get an amen? Nobody else's fault. You know, the whole culture is all into making sure that we blame somebody else for what's going on in our lives. But guys, let's just face it. We are where we are because of sin. Yeah, we learned it from our fathers. We may have even experienced it through other people persuading us, but ultimately, at the end of the day, at some point in time, you knew better and you did it anyways. Amen? So let's just put on our big boy pants and let's just say, okay, I know that I'm a sinner. Guys, none of us can be saved until we are able to finally admit it and confess it. I'm a sinner and I deserve hell. I have sinned against God and really him alone. Our Friday evening Bible study that some of us come together for over at our house, we got together this Friday and we talked about Psalm 51. Read Psalm 51. David finally came to an end of his pride and all the stuff he had gotten into, and he finally just said it. And he said, God, against you and only you have I sinned and done this evil. Every sin you've ever committed hurt God. Can I get an amen on that? But Jesus gave his blood on the cross. Sin still hurts God. He doesn't want to see us continue in sin. He died so that we could be set free from it. You see, sin is what separated us from all those promises, and that sin is defined by the old covenant law. So some might say, well, you know, Jesus has come. Why do we still have the Old Testament? Why do we still look at the Old Testament? Because I'm just going to be honest. You wouldn't even know it was sin unless you looked at the Old Testament. Some of those things that I can sort of justify in my life and blame on somebody else, you know, ultimately I've got to realize that it's sin because God says it's sin. And I can't argue with God over that. And so that's what separated us from it, and the old covenant law just solidifies it. Now, I just ask you, just because you know the law, does it automatically make you stop breaking the law? When you see the speed limit sign and you're driving down the road, I like to pick on the speed limit because it's a hard one for me. You know, I'm not picking on it because I know you all speed. I don't know if you speed, but I know I do sometimes, and so I'm still working on that one. But what I'm seeing is, like, I see the sign, and that don't just automatically stop me from doing it. But when I see the police officer up ahead, I immediately look at my speed limit. That's why we need to read the Bible every day. Reading it once a month just ain't going to get it for me. That's like seeing one speed limit sign all the way to Virginia. I forget. I'm very forgetful. They got to keep reposting it for me, keep reminding me. And so it's really important that we look back at that Old Testament law, because it's like the schoolmaster that keeps us sort of confined until we really come to have grace and freedom in Christ. And you see, once we come to that point, then the Holy Spirit lives in us, will help us to be convicted of sin quickly as we walk down this road in between our times of reading and in between our times of meeting. God wants to direct us by his Holy Spirit, and praise God that he does that. And that's where we get that peace. Amen? And that's that next verse, verse 14. For he himself is our peace. I want you to underline that in your Bible. It's okay to mark in your Bible. It's yours. You can even underline it if it's a pew Bible. It's okay, because this verse is good for all of us. You know why most people do come to Christ? It's because they want peace. You know why most people are drawn at least some point in their life? Because they're feeling a little lack of peace. You know, I've heard testimonies from a small child all the way up to the oldest person that I ever saw get saved was literally my grandmother at 86 on my mother's side. You know, I don't know. I'm sure older people have been saved, but in my presence, I can tell you the reason why she responded to the gospel message that day was because she couldn't find peace any other way. Praise God that if he is seeking after us, we will not find it any other place but in him. If you're seeking peace today and you haven't really surrendered your heart to Christ, then I am going to encourage you. The reason why God has brought you to this place, to this time, and you still have not found peace in any other way is because he wants you to find the peace in him. Because it is the peace that will never go away. It's the peace that we will have access to forever. And in this peace, it's so beautiful what it talks about here. It was talking about Gentiles and Jews. And you know, there was an enmity there, right? There was a separation there. Jews couldn't eat with Gentiles because Gentiles ate food that the Old Testament law said they couldn't eat. And so there couldn't really be a close bond. There couldn't be a really close relationship between the Jews and the Gentiles. And God had established that at that time because he didn't want the Jews picking up the bad religious practices that the Gentiles had. But guys, once we're both in Christ, it's okay now. You see? The law has been fulfilled so that we can be together now. We can be one. And it's not because of some human action like circumcision that used to be the sign of the Jewish covenant. But now it's the circumcision of the heart. It's not by hands. It's that Christ has forgiven us and we have received him. And now our heart has the Holy Spirit living in it. He took the heart of stone away and he gave us the heart of flesh. How many can you here can confess that you have experienced that? That you had the heart of stone and you just couldn't get rid of it. You just didn't know why all that hardness was there. And you came to Christ and he gave you that heart of flesh. I have talked to grown men and I just tell you, men don't like to cry. Can I get an amen out of a few of the men here? Men don't generally like to cry. We do it sometimes, but we really try not to because it makes us look weak and we don't like that or whatever. I don't know, but it's just something about it and it scares us. But I've talked to a lot of men who later on in life got saved and they said, I don't know what happened, but like sometimes I just start crying about it. You know why? Because God took your heart of stone and gave you a heart of flesh. And sometimes we just can't stop it from happening. You know, we see that thing that reminds us of when we got saved and you just start to weep. Or we see that little child and we used to not really think that much about it, but, you know, we see that preciousness in them and we want them to know the Lord now. And it just makes us feel this sense. You know what you're feeling? You're feeling God's heart, folks. God loves us like that. And, you know, it's because that peace lives in our heart now. It's because we have the heart of Christ. And in that, we can both be one in Christ, the Jews and the Gentiles, because he, in verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Guys, it ain't that the law was bad. It's just the law informs us of sin, but it don't take it away. You see, the law is still good. And it brings us to Christ and to the knowledge of knowing we need him. But it's Christ that takes away the sin so that we can be one. So as to create in himself one new man. Not Jew and Gentile believer. Believer. One new man. From the two, thus making peace. You have peace with God through Christ. Who is it that's being reconciled? Well, now we know what we were reconciled or what we were separated from. We know what it was that separated us. It was our sin. And now we can know who it is that's being reconciled, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Did you ever think about the fact that before you came to Christ, you were an enemy to God? Doesn't that kind of scare you? Did you ever think about that? An enemy of God. There's another place in the scripture where it talks about being a God hater. You know, and most of us will sit here and say, well, I never hated God. Well, did you ever sin against him? Because in a sense, that puts you in that place. You had enmity with God in the flesh, but you know what? In Christ, you are reconciled. Isn't that a beautiful statement? And I'm gonna add one more word to it. It's only in Christ that you are reconciled. Are you in Christ? I pray you are. If you're not, then come on in. He died for you. He made the way. And some would say, why is it only through Christ? Because as we discussed before, he's the only one who lived the law perfectly. He never sinned one time. He didn't deserve death. That way, he could give his life as a ransom for us. God bless you. Let me pray for you, and we're going to open the altar for anything that you may need to pray about. God cares. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that you so loved the world, that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Thank you, Lord, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, Jesus, that no one comes to the Father except through you. Thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way, but the way, and that you reveal yourself to us. Help us to be a part of revealing who you are to others. Thank you, Lord. You are so good. Thank you that through your precious blood, we are reconciled. In Christ. Amen.